It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. We are the Red Sox Beat Podcast, presented by CLNS Media, your leading online audio and video provider for Major League Baseball. I'm the host of the show, Chris Cotillo from MassLive.com. This is episode 330. We're recording just a few days after the last episode with Alex Speer of the Boston Globe. Talked to him about his book just 3 or 4 days later, and big news, so we had to call in the big guns. Chris Sale, probably done for the year with an elbow injury. We are calling in for episode 230. Chris Smith, my partner at MassLive. This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag, which is CLNS's preferred online sports book, and then Roman, which is a discreet way guys with erectile dysfunction can get treated. So, of course, that segue speaks for itself. Mr. Smith, thank you for joining. Chris Smith, everybody, is fresh off. Today's his first day back from paternity leave. Welcomed his first child, Kaylee Smith, a couple weeks ago. So how is the first 2 weeks of fatherhood, Chris?
Tiring.
Yeah.
There's really not much sleep. I actually thought, well, you know, why don't I call Cotillo to babysit during the night? Because he usually goes to bed at 4:30 anyway.
Yeah, maybe so, not.
No, it's tough because it's like, you know, the baby wakes up every 2 hours. Well, you know, that was like the first week. The baby was waking up like every 2 hours at night, and we were like exhausted. But she's been doing like 4 hours of sleep in between waking up now, so that's pretty good.
Wow. So did someone not tell you that this was going to happen? Because even in my my young age, I know that that's kind of part of the process. So
yeah. I knew it was going to happen, but you know, it took a little getting used to, I guess, to actually, you know, realize that it actually is going to happen.
And so Chris is back on the job. He'll be at Fenway for the Philly series this week, whoever the Red Sox decide to throw in the next couple of days. And then for the continuation game, which will be really weird on Thursday, the Royals coming back, Chris will be finishing covering a game that I had to sit through a 2 hour rain delay after a 4 hour game four. So he gets to, you know, put that notch in his belt. And then I'll be on the West Coast because Chris's baby came early and we scheduled me to go to the West Coast, which was a great turn of events for me. So thanks to Chris and Christy Smith for family planning in a way where I could go to San Diego and Denver. I will always owe you for that. How much of the Red Sox have you actually paid attention to in the last 2 weeks? Probably more than you should, right?
Well, the person that you had on your last podcast, Alex Speer, told me to, you know, really disconnect and, you know, to unplug for a couple of weeks. And I actually took that advice, surprisingly. However,
yeah, shockingly.
However, I have watched some games. You know, I mean, you're just sitting at home anyway, taking care of a baby. So what else are you going to do at 7 o'clock at night? So, yeah, I mean, I have watched the team, you know, pretty frequently over the past 2 weeks. You know, I think they're out of it. I think they're done. You know, not only do they have to, you know, make up so many games in the standings, but, you know, then they'd have to pass two teams too. So, you know, I think that, you know, you look at it, the Chris Sale news today and, you know, Eovaldi not looking good in the rotation and, you know, they just don't have any starting pitching here to last, you know, 6 weeks for the remainder of the season.
Right. And I think, you know, we'll get to the big picture things because now, you know, I thought they still had a slight chance. The Sale news obviously changed that in a lot of ways, but the Sale news is obviously for you will be, all right, back on the beat after a couple of weeks, and you'll have Chris Sale talking tomorrow and Cora about it and maybe Dombrowski and some crazy stuff on a big news day where, you know, the news today, Chris Sale avoids Tommy John surgery. His visit to Dr. Andrews, you know, goes pretty well, I guess, considering that a lot of people thought it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to have Tommy John, but he's on the injured list with elbow inflammation. He's definitely not going to pitch for the rest of this season, but he It will be reevaluated in 6 weeks. Got a PRP shot, third Red Sox pitcher in the last couple weeks to get one of those. Clearly the most important, the other two are Stephen Wright and Heath Hembree, who also have not bounced back from those and probably, in both of those cases, won't return this season. Sale, obviously, a much bigger piece than that. The Red Sox have this crazy, weird schedule with all these off days. Like, this is why we're recording on a Monday off day. They have a starting pitching off day on Thursday because they only need to, you know, continue that game from the 10th inning. The next Monday in between San Diego and Colorado, the next Thursday between Colorado and Anaheim, and then again the following Monday. So they can really roll out a four-man rotation. I don't even know if they have four guys to be able to do that. But it is an uphill battle for a team that at this point, as I tweeted out, they have Eduardo Rodriguez, who's been, you know, overperforming. Rick Porcello, who for most of the year has been looked okay in the last couple, has been underperforming. An injured David Price, Chris Sale, who's not going to contribute down the stretch. Nathan Eovaldi is not fully built up. He only lasted two innings and has returned to the rotation the other day. Andrew Kastner is now in the bullpen. Brian Johnson, they don't seem to trust for more than 2 2/3 innings. So when you look at the rotation as a whole, Chris, it's not anywhere close to what we thought the Red Sox rotation would look like at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you re-sign Chris Sale at the beginning of the year or give him an extension, a five-year, $145 million extension, you know, you're looking at this starting rotation that just won a World Series, you know, 9 months before or whatever, how many months before that extension, and you're looking at that as the, you know, the anchor of this team going forward, not only just this year, but in years to come. I mean, you know, David Price had pitched so well in the World Series, and you know, you had options with, you know, Rick Porcello, but you re-signed Nathan Eovaldi also during the offseason. And so, you know, I mean, this what appeared to be a good situation, a good, you know, the anchor of the team, the most important part of this team, the starting pitching going into the year and what it could be for years to come. It doesn't look very good right now. It looks, you know, and with Sale, I know we can get more into Sale, but, you know, I mean, he's got the PRP injection, but, you know, I wouldn't rule out eventually having Tommy John surgery if this doesn't work.
That is sometimes a precursor.
Yes. And so, you know, I mean, it's great that he avoided it right now, but I was on this in April, a week after the extension. I wrote that, you know, I didn't like the extension. I wrote in January, you know, that they, you know, should have injury concerns. And, you know, I would be surprised if they re-signed him. So when I got to spring training and I heard John Henry talking about, you know, blowing the John Lester deal and, you know, they love to re-sign him, I was like, whoa, they're going to re-sign him during spring training. And I can't believe it because, you know, he's pitched 29 innings total during the second half of last year. In two of his three, you know, postseason starts last year, he couldn't go beyond the fourth inning. You know, so, you know, there's been injury concerns. You know, I mean, the inability to, or how he tails off at the end of the year throughout his career. So I was very surprised that they did it and that they re-signed him. And now the contract doesn't look great, especially with the possibility that, you know, he avoids it now. But I think it's still on the table, Tommy John.
Yeah, it definitely is. I was actually in the camp of liking the deal. I like, if you put those two deals, Sale and Bogarts, together, both of them were pretty team friendly. Obviously, Bogarts has worked out incredibly well so far. Sale's has not. Obviously, there's injury risk, but at the same time, I think you need to. They didn't pay up as much as he probably would have gotten on the free agent market. Let's say he goes and has a great year, signs with someone like the Yankees, or which was a possibility for sure, or something else. You know, I think I actually liked the deal at the time, but now, you know, people have been saying just the way he throws, his mechanics and everything, make him a candidate for Tommy John for a while. I think it's really interesting the way this all transpired because Chris Sale's a guy who struggled all year, and there was concern that he was injured throughout the season. And the Red Sox, who constantly preach about how much they're going to take care of these guys, and that's a quote from Alex Cora, he always says, wouldn't have let him throw and wouldn't have let him go out there every 5 days if there was something wrong. After his last start, he came in and reported, that was in Cleveland, he pitched okay, reported some elbow inflammation on Friday, just to refresh everybody's memory, and then on Saturday he was put on the injured list. Today went to see Dr. James Andrews, and his season is now over. I think it's a good time now that this season is over to kind of look back at what it was for Chris Sale. I think Definitely the worst season of his career. That started on opening day in Seattle when he got lit up. There was a few starts against the Yankees where he did not look like himself at all and struggled there. And the damage on Chris Sale in his final year before the extension kicks in ends up 6-11 with a 4.40 ERA, a whip of 1.086. That's just about as high as any since 2013 for him. Highest ERA of his career by far. Makes 25 starts.
Goes by one run.
Yeah. And it goes 25 starts, 147, and a third inning. And I think, you know, the most telling thing that this was a struggle for the Red Sox, while guys like Rick Porcello, some others, Eduardo Rodriguez, they could have bad starts and the Red Sox offense could carry them. That was a problem for Chris Sale throughout the season. The Red Sox finished the season, let's say Chris Sale's done, 10-15 in his start. So overall, we saw flashes of brilliance in Baltimore, you know, early in the season. He struck out 14, an immaculate inning, had a no-hitter there. Against the Rockies, he struck out 17 a start later, seemed to be really rounding into form there. We saw a three-hit shutout in Kansas City. I was there for that one. We've seen some other good starts, one against the Blue Jays at home. Obviously, a disaster against the Yankees in the Bronx. Came back with 8 scoreless against the Angels. Wasn't horrible in Cleveland to close things out, but overall, just a season that there's some ugly numbers. 7 earned runs on opening day, 8 earned runs in 3 2/3 against the Yankees, looking at this game log. Obviously, very disappointing for Chris Sale ending this way. I think it was always the Red Sox were going to go as Chris Sale went, and that's kind of how it's been.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of summed it up. I forget, it was on the last road trip that I was on, and he said that he's had some of the best starts of his career this year and some of the, you know, the most horrible starts of his career this year. And it's been a confusing year for him and, you know, Alex Cora for that reason.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, he did have the complete game shutout in Kansas City, I believe it was. And
yep,
he had some of the highest strikeout games of his career against the Baltimore Orioles. And then,
yeah, 218 strikeouts as well in 107 1/3.
Yeah. So he leads the American League with, I think it's 13.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. I was looking at that earlier. So, I mean, it's been a weird year. You know, because he's had some dominant stretches, or he's had some dominant starts, let's say, but he's also had some of the worst starts of his career, you know, and he pitched terrible against the Yankees, and he had historically pitched great against them in his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, and I wrote it quickly on Twitter today, I think that, you know, the last 2 years, they have been very cautious with him in spring training. And you look at his first year there, he just had a regular spring training for Chris Sale. And, you know, he really, you know, he had a 2-point-something ERA through August. And then he kind of, you know, tailed off. I think he had a 3-point or maybe a ERA in the fours, a low fours for the final 2 months, his final 11 starts in 2017. And then he didn't pitch well against, the Astros in the ALDS. I think there needs to be a common ground found between what they've done the past 2 years and what they did the first year, or what they've done this whole entire career. I think that they need to go into next spring training, if he's healthy, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, because we still don't know. I mean, he could, as we said before, he still could have Tommy John surgery or some procedure.
Yeah, there are people on Twitter saying that they're just delaying the inevitable today, which, you know, is obviously.
And I guess they can delay the inevitable, because if he was to get it today, or mm-hmm. if he was to get it this week, he's not pitching next year anyway.
Yep.
And if he's, you know, if they wait it out and see what he feels like in 6 weeks, then, you know, it's pretty much going to be the same return time anyway if he gets it in 6 weeks. So, you know, but I would look into, okay, you know, full spring training, you know, work, strengthen that shoulder, strengthen that elbow, get him, you know, 4 or 5 spring training starts, and get him so he's 100% ready for the year. So it's not like he's working into it in the year. And then as the year goes on, reduce the workload there. You know, I mean, we saw in 2017, he was over 200 innings, and, you know, you make it so that during the regular season, his workload's between, you know, 170, 180 innings. It was funny, like, Josh Beckett once said to Rob Bradford that, you know, he didn't pitch 200 innings, and that set him up for good postseasons.
Yeah, and Sale last year. I mean, they tried to do that throughout the season last year.
Yeah, but I think they also took a very, a similar approach during spring training with them. So it was like, you know, I think that, you know, it was pretty much the same approach. I mean, he didn't look at his numbers from last year in spring training. He didn't pitch much in spring training. And so, I don't know. I think they need to find a totally different program or go back to the program that he was always on and with the White Sox. Because would you rather, you know, four dominant months of Chris Sale in two, you know, decent months, or would you want a season like what happened this year or even last year where he pitched, you know, just 29 innings in the second half?
Yep. And obviously these are two separate injuries, the shoulder for all of last year. The Red Sox were able to cruise, didn't even need him, you know, so that was not a big deal. Now they really do. And as he was rounding into form, Rick Porcello is looking a little bit better. It looked like for the first time, you know, I think they got, you know, during when they beat the Yankees in 3 out of 4, that was the first time they'd gotten, I think, 6 straight starts of 6 innings or more, and strung some quality starts together. And now that's virtually impossible. So as we sit here with what, 30 something games, 36 something like that games left in the season, what needs to happen in the starting rotation for this team to be successful? Because obviously Erod has to continue to be good, Porcello has to continue to be good, and then Price has to come back maybe quicker than they wanted, right? I guess. And then Evaldi needs to be stretched out. I mean, is there anything else that you point to? Kashner, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Kashner probably likes being in the bullpen right now because it's like, you know, he's pitching well, and maybe this is his future, you know, as a you know, older person. That's where he's going to get the contract, you know, this coming year. You know, so I don't know. I mean, you know, the big thing that hurt them also, in addition to Sale not pitching well this year, was the long relief that they got from Brian Johnson and Hector Velasquez last year. Yep. And you could look at those guys and, you know, they would give you some long relief and bridge the gap. So a starter, if he left, you know, so you could only pitch, you know, if you pitch 5 innings, they could bridge the gap and they could be relied on this year, and they could be relied on for a spot start to give you 5 innings. This year, their spot starts are, as you said before, do they even trust Brian Johnson, which, you know, beyond 2 2/3 innings? And so, you know, I mean, that's been the big difference, is, you know, the amount of innings combined between those two that they gave you last year, and they're getting virtually no, you know, long relief / spot starts this year from either of them or anybody. And that paired with, you know, inconsistency from Sale and, you know, David Price not pitching, you know, into the 7th inning consistently, not even really pitching into the 6th inning consistently over the last, you know, month or so. That's really killed them this year. And so when you go into the next offseason, I wrote today that if Chris Sale needs Tommy John surgery, the rotation is going to be in shambles. But, you know, heading into next year, but you really
definitely need to re-sign Porcello if that's the case.
You know, that's an interesting point, and maybe they offer him the qualifying offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or maybe they say, okay, 2 years at, you know, $20 million or something like that.
Yep.
Or $25 million. You know, because he's had kind of an atrocious year this year, but he's been somebody that's been able to make adjustments, and he's
always healthy, no matter what. Also,
yeah, and that's the important thing. I mean, when you're looking at a rotation next year that has some injury question marks, you need a guy that can pitch, you know, 200 or near 200 innings. And Priscilla's always been that guy, and as people like to say, he's an every other year pitcher. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, went the route of Priscilla again. I wouldn't go pay somebody like Garrett Cole a ton of money, because, you know, what if his velocity comes down in the first year? And then you're looking at 3 aces that you have on the team that aren't pitching like aces.
Yep.
You know, in Price, Sailing, and Garrett Cole. So, I mean, I'd be very leery to just go out and spend a lot of money to bring somebody in. I think that, you know, one way that they could potentially do it is by trading Mookie Betts for a young pitcher. You know, they have to explore all options going into this offseason. I think they definitely have to explore trading Jackie Bradley, and anybody that's a free agent at the end of next year.
And I think, you know, that's definitely possible. We looked at, you know, the Red Sox kind of the strength a year ago or in December when they re-signed Eovaldi for 4 years. Wow, you have four of these five guys locked up. You have Erod for a while. You have now, and when they re-signed Eovaldi and extended Sale, you have Sale for a bunch of years. Price opts in. You have him for four more years. You have Eovaldi for 4 years. Erod's under control, and Porcello's the guy. Oh, we can't let him get away. Now looking important that they might need to re-sign him, especially if there's question marks over the health, not just of Sale, but of Price, who dealt with that wrist cyst and is on his way back now, and Eovaldi, who missed the first half of the season. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. We're not going to say that that applies to the Red Sox rotation, even though 3/5 of them have been hurt this year, whether it's a knee injury, a bad back, or something worse, like elbow inflammation, Chris Smith, maybe. Guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. The same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Getting started is simple. Just go to roman.com/socks, that's S-O-X, and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides the treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Guys, go talk to your doctor. ED can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get it checked out. With Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor in a discreet, quick manner. Just go to getroman.com/socks to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's getroman.com/socks, S-O-X, and it's free. getroman.com/SOX. So there you go. I don't think Roman does anything for elbows or wrist cysts or loose bodies in your elbow. So I don't know if the Red Sox rotation would probably not get too much help there. But it has been now, you know, three injuries, two major ones, and a third now to David Price. And an interesting question for Alex Cora that I'm going to tell you now, which means you can't steal it in the next 2 days when you cover the games against the Phillies. I'm going to save it for San Diego and be able to write it. They talk so often about we have to take care of these guys, and they're so careful. How much does Alex Cora, or how much does Dave Dombrowski take it personally that, you know, these guys just weren't healthy? You know, of all these loose bodies in his elbow turned into basically a 3-month absence from the rotation, a 4-month absence because they had him as a reliever for a month, which was starting to work until they had to flip that because of everything else going on in the rotation. David Price, he was pitching, but he wasn't healthy as the wrist was tightening up, and he went on the injured list. He's going to throw a bullpen Tuesday, could be back maybe within the week, but still a 2 or 3 week chunk missed there. And now Chris Sale being shut down on August 17th, basically for the rest of the season. That's 3/5 of your rotation missing significant time. You know, the question to them would be, do you take this personally, and what adjustments are you going to make to the plan moving forward? We saw them baby them in spring training. And the interesting thing, and you know, some reporters were talking about this in the clubhouse the other day, they really wanted to protect four guys who pitched deep into October: Eovaldi, Sale, Price, and Porcello. They let Erod have a normal spring training, and he's been fine. And the other four guys, three of them have had significant injuries. So it kind of speaks to what you're talking about earlier. But
one of them hasn't, and the other one, Rick Porcello,
right, had, as of last week,
his velocity's been down.
The highest ERA in baseball as well.
Yeah. Give me your question that I just interrupted you on.
So, I mean, is that an indictment on the spring training plan? Is it just, you know, an occupational hazard of these guys pitched almost until Halloween? That kind of thing. I mean, what your takeaway from looking at this, not just in terms of Chris Sale, but as a whole?
Yeah, I think it's an indictment on the spring training plan. And they got together and, you know, before, I think it was November or December, you know, Brad Pearson, you know, Alex Cora, Daniel Vivangi, you know, probably Dombrowski was in on it. You know, they mapped out that plan for spring training. And, you know, it doesn't always work that way, that, you know, you can, you know, baby them during spring training and then, you know, expect them to get stronger during the year, because, you know, usually you get weaker during the year, you know, and how are you building up strength during the year, you know? So I think that spring training is such an important time to build strength and to, you know, get those innings so you're ready for the season. And, you know, as the season gone on, as seasons go on, you know, the wear and tear gets to you. You become, you deteriorate. Your body deteriorates as seasons goes on. It doesn't strengthen because, you know, you pitch less in spring training. So I think that the whole idea was, you know, flawed. And, you know, I think they all deserve blame for that. I think they need to be held accountable, you know, with Chris Cotillo's tough questions in San Diego about that. And so
beautiful, you know, weather, everyone's relaxed and the tough questions can come.
So I think, I think that's legitimate. And, you know, it's definitely concerning going forward because, you know, as you said, there's been three injuries. And not only that, but Purcell's velocity is down and pitching the worst of his career. And, you know, it just hasn't looked good.
Yeah, it definitely hasn't. The rotation has struggled all year, and now they're going to have to pick up the pieces, like I said, with whatever combination of the guys they have left. That could lead to rushing Price back, having to stretch Evaldi out quicker than anticipated. And they're going to have to come, you know, soon to a point where they're going to have to decide, basically, is it worth maybe rushing David Price back or building Evaldi up too quickly? These guys that you've made big investments for, or big investments in for years to come, to get them back for what could really be a long shot this season. We'll look at some of the odds from betonline.ag, which is our other sponsor, plus 3,300 as of the other day to win the World Series. Let's see how Chris Sale, or plus 2,800 after a five-game winning streak. So the odds have actually gone up. I'm not sure if this is factored in with the Chris Sale news yet. But Chris Smith has completely written this team off, right, at this point. I mean, you said it in the open. It's no chance in your mind of the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's been no chance for a while now. I mean, ever since that, what was it, an 8-game losing streak or whatever?
Yeah.
After the trade deadline, I just, you know, I mean, they can show you, they can win three straight against the Yankees and look so good, and then they can lose 8 straight. You know, so, I've just never been sold on this team throughout the year. I think there are one step forward, 2-step back team that's been, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, look terrible against the Phillies after winning 5 games here. And, I, you know, as I said, it's just too difficult to lap 2 teams, I think, at this point and come back from, what is it, a 5.5 game deficit between the
6.5.
6.5 right now. Yep. So it's like, you know, I mean, that's a lot of games. that's a lot of games for the amount of time that's left in the season, which isn't much left in the season. So I think that if I was the Red Sox, I put it out there last week, I would just, you know, play the young guy, see what you got. I mean, and we talk about young guys. I mean, you know, Sam Travis has looked a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Dr. So Chill.
Dr. Chill. I'd put him out there every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd bring up Bobby Dalblak, who's starting, you know, he's really hitting well at Pawtucket. See what you have there. Maybe bring up C.J. Chatham, you know, play some second base. I think that Marco Hernandez should be playing the majority of second base, not, you know, not Owens,
Chris Owens,
who's like, you know, got DFA'd by the, or released by the Royals, Kansas City Royals.
And then
you know?
He found the launch angle.
And you know, and there, you know, you have to see what's going on with these, some of these younger guys like Hernandez. And, you know, I don't know if there's a future. If you know, Holt's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. I don't know if the plan is to re-sign him, but you know, I mean, there's a very cheap alternative right there in Marco Hernandez, so he should be playing every day to see if he can be that cheap alternative. You know, I know Mitch Moreland's been a great part of this team for a couple of years, but you know, maybe him not playing as much to see what, you know, Sam Travis and Bobby Dalbec and some of these other guys can do. So I definitely play the young guys going forward. I look to next year. I look to see what you have this year so you can have a better year yet next year. And, you know, a guy like Sam Travis, can he play? I look at him as a very cheap alternative to, you know, Steve Pierce and, you know, and I think that he has what it takes to be a guy that can be that, you know, that backup on the roster who can play some left field too. And, you know, so I would look at the cheap, cost-effective ways, the cost-effective alternatives on the roster right now, see what they can do for the final so many months or for the so many weeks, because you're going to have to rebuild the roster a little bit and spend some money this offseason. So you have to see where you can save.
Right. Chris Smith, I don't know. He's not a betting man because I believe that's against Baseball Writers' rules. But
is it?
I don't know. Someone mentioned that. I don't know. We'll have to look into it.
You know, like I tried to, like, I was like going to make a bet when I was in Vegas on the Patriots game, and
that's right.
Like I thought about it for like 3 days, and then I just didn't do it. So
well, if you
yeah,
do,
I'm not a betting man.
If you become one, betonline.ag is CLNS Media's preferred online sportsbook. The odds for the Red Sox to win the American League, they are +2,000. That's the 6th best odds in the American League, shockingly behind the Astros, Yankees, Indians, Twins, and Rays. To win the World Series, they have the 10th best odds in baseball at +2,800. Also, the NFL preseason is underway. To celebrate another season kickoff, betonline.ag. And CLNS Media are pairing up to give you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Head over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to join today and use the promo code CLNS50, that's CLNS50, to receive your welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines this football season or baseball season. Get into all the action with betonline.ag, AG like Attorney General, your online sportsbook experts. A minimum deposit of $55 is required to qualify for the bonus. You will receive a 50% bonus on your qualifying first deposit only. That's betonline.ag. CLNS Media's preferred online sportsbook. So just to wrap up with Chris Smith, who's already written off the team completely, the Red Sox have no chance, according to him. It's a bad bet on betonline.ag.
However, you know, it's funny because with these, you know, as you said, Baseball Writers can't bet or whatever. But, I mean, what are they? They must overestimate our ability of knowledge because, like,
oh, yeah, we know nothing.
Every Red Sox beat writer, I think, predicted them to win 100 games this year because they were like, well, even if they have some regression, no one else is good. You know, they're the only people that are good. The only teams that are good are the Yankees, you know, Astros and Red Sox. And so they're definitely going to win 100 games. How many of us said that? So, you know.
Hey, you were included in that.
What's that?
You were kind of included in that. You thought they'd be better than this.
I thought they'd win 95-100 games. Yeah.
Well, they're 6.5 back. As the Phillies come into town, the Red Sox have three chances to add wins in the next 3 days. They have 2.1 games in the next 3 days with the Phillies, the continuation game. They head to the West Coast. Look, the Red Sox swept the Orioles. They did what they had to do. They came back from a 6-0 deficit, 113-7. They swept them after a good series in Cleveland. They have teams that are beatable. You know, two against the Phillies, .1 against the Royals, 3 against the Padres, 2 against the Rockies. I mean, those are not the cream of the crop. The problem, the Rays are facing, I believe, the Mariners and the Orioles in the next 7 days, and they've been rolling even when they look like they were going to lose.
Mariners,
So it's going to be an uphill climb. But if the Red Sox, and this is the most important series of the year, that's why I took it on the schedule, and Chris Smith will be sitting at home from September 20th through 23rd. The Red Sox will be in St. Petersburg. Beautiful Tropicana field, beautiful weather. For 4 against the Rays, let's say they're within 4 games at that point in about a month, then there is a chance the Red Sox have to, you know, outplay the Rays in the next 3-4 weeks before we get to that point, just to have a chance. So plenty more throughout the season. Chris Sale's done. We are not on the Red Sox Beat podcast. So thanks for listening. Chris Smith, congrats on the fatherhood, and thanks for joining the show.
All right. Thanks for having me.